If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
Apparently, if you have one of these in your home, you should be warning guests before they enter. All right, so we were talking yesterday after 8 o'clock about the home assistants. So like the Echo, the Amazon Echo, the Google Home, the Alexa. And you guys said you both have one in your homes, right?
Yeah, Alexa.
All right, well, Rick Osterlaw, he's the senior vice president of devices at Google. So you'd assume he knows what's going on, right?
Hope so.
We would assume that. And he was asked about whether or not people should be warned before entering a home that has one of these Google assistants. And at first he was like, oh, I never really thought of it that way. But then he went on to say that he would and that he does. That every time someone enters his home, he lets them know that there is an assistant listening, basically. And he said it's probably something that the products themselves should try to indicate. Basically, they should be telling us, like, you should be warning people and that we have to consider all stakeholders that might be in proximity of these devices. Have you ever thought about warning somebody?
No. Is it for their safety or for yours? Like, is it because you don't want to get ads for stuff that they're talking about?
No, I would say it's for theirs, but then maybe yours. If like if a lawsuit began, imagine if something, you know, in the States, they sue people over everything. Yeah. So somebody comes in, somehow the Google assistant records them saying something, and then they get mad at you and sue you. I could see that happening.
So are we to assume that these things are just recording 24/7?
Well, they say they aren't, but I don't trust that they're not.
I already assume that they are. I go in full eyes open that they're already listening to us all the time. I had an issue last night, actually, with my Alexa. I was cooking, listening to some music, decided to turn the Alexa off after I was done, and I noticed that it would flash every time I made a noise in the kitchen. And so I tested it, and I went up to the Alexa, and I snapped my fingers, and it flashed green twice. And that totally freaked me out because I've never seen it do that. So I unplugged it.
I forget what the website is, but I've gone on a website where it will show you in text everything that I have said. Now, they say it only begins recording after you say, hey, Google, or you start it like that. But we know that after that point, it is, in fact, recording.
Right.
So it could always like misconstrue. Maybe it doesn't know that you said, hey, Google, and then suddenly it's recording what your friends say.
Yeah. Well, like Annie said, I mean, isn't it easier to just unplug it than to have to, you know, give a whole warning before people guests come in? Like, just so you know, we have a smart device in the house.
And it's
okay?
Listening right now.
Do you unplug it, though?
Yeah.
You do? Oh, you unplug yours?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I don't want to have to deal with, you know, people being spied on or, you know, people's privacy issues.
You're that paranoid. So you do, every time you're not using it, you unplug it.
Not every time, but if I have people over and if I don't want to be distracted by it, yeah, I'll just take it out.
Wow.
Sam's right. Place is a safe zone. It I like is. That.
You got to show who's the boss sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. I'm worried also that it's still listening even when you unplug it. Like maybe there's some sort of secret battery in there that we don't know about and it's still
probably
on.
And even if it's not recording us, our phones are, I'm pretty
exactly.
sure.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So something else.
That's why I don't unplug it. Every time I say, hey, Google, my phone starts freaking out and I'm like, okay, you're listening to me too. Everybody's listening to me. Whatever. I've just sort of come to terms with it. Anyway, something to think about if you do have one at home. You may want to consider letting people know or having them sign a waiver as soon as they walk in the door. Everything you say or do will be recorded from this moment forward.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
So a huge celebrity broke down in tears this week, and it really sparked an interesting conversation about men crying. And I have a feeling we're going to need to know what you think on this. You can text us at 92925. And you saw Prince Harry spoke at a charity event in London this week. And this is an event that pays tribute to sick children and their caregivers, which, I mean, I want to cry just thinking about being there. You know, like in itself, that is a very emotional subject.
Absolutely.
And during his speech, he spoke about how a year prior at the exact same event, he and Meghan were secretly pregnant. Nobody knew, but they knew. And he started tearing up. His voice was breaking and he had to actually step away from the microphone for a second.
This year, it resonates in a different way because now I'm a father. Last year, when my wife and I attended, we knew we were expecting our first child. No one else did at the time, but we did. And I remember...
<sorry. clears throat> I was watching him. I teared up. Everybody in the audience was supporting him. But, you know, as I was watching this, I was like, I didn't know it was possible for me to be any more attracted to Prince Harry. Like, as if I didn't already want to marry him enough. Seeing him like this, seeing his emotion, seeing him allow himself to be vulnerable like that, it sealed the deal for me.
But it's also because it's Prince Harry, too. I mean, you've like romanticized about him, and we've all seen him. He's always so stoic that we rarely see any emotions. So when you do see someone like that, you know, shed a tear, I guess we don't expect it as much, and
no,
we're captivated
by it. He's pretty emotional. For a man, are you kidding me? I've dated many men who are way more uptight than he is when it comes to their emotions.
Are you a fan of crying?
Yes. I love a good cry. Absolutely. I love, you know, I've had this issue before. It's been a red flag in many relationships, mm-hmm. actually. I can be a bit of an emotional person. I love to be able to see that in other people as well. It doesn't mean I'm always crying, but it means that I feel deeply. And mm-hmm. I've been dating guys where I'm just like, what is there? Like, what do I have to do to get to where the emotion and vulnerability is?
I feel like women need a shoulder to cry on, you know, not so much the other way around, you know, like I can't speak for all men, but I mean, when I cry in front of a woman, it's very, first of all, it's very seldom. And it mm-hmm. has to be a woman that I'm like comfortable enough to cry around. I'm not the type of guy that's going to go
crying
on a first
date.
Crying
is healthy. I love when a guy, Andy, are you comfortable crying in front of people, including women that you've dated?
I am, but it took a good woman like Kelly to make me comfortable, to make me that way. I think a lot of guys, me specifically, you're kind of brought up to not cry, to not show emotions, or to not show that weak kind of emotion. At least that's how I was brought up, and that's how a lot of my friends were brought up.
The world is changing so much.
The world
right
is
now,
changing,
though.
But for guys like me, and even Prince Harry and Sam as well, you kind of have to adapt, and it's kind of a learning process. You can't just all of a sudden switch on your crying, right?
Why
and
not? That's what happens to me.
Well,
happens
yeah,
to me like once a week, actually, the crying just switches on.
For you, but for guys, it's a little bit more difficult. So I don't cry all the time in front of Kelly. It's got to be something really emotional for me to cry over. When I proposed, that was when I first cried in front of her, mm-hmm. and I told her, you got to give me a second here, because this is tough for me. This is a big step for me. And I had a little tear in my eye, but it's pretty rare, but it's a little bit more common now.
I love when a man can cry. That is what I'm looking for. That should be, if I do an online dating profile ever again, it'll be like, when's the last time you cried?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Those emotions have to go somewhere. And if you're just suppressing them and suppressing them and suppressing them, it's going to blow up at one point.
You don't want an overcrier, though. You don't want somebody that's a little bit too over emotional and cries at everything.
That's not because they're a man. That's like, nobody likes a human who cries all the time.
True,
right.
Good point. Man or woman. Yeah,
nobody wants to be around that.
There are some reasons that I was talking with Andy off air about, you know, growing up when we were playing on sports teams, if there were guys on our team that would always be crying, he wouldn't like, no one would want to hang out with them because they were just crying for no reason. And it just got annoying after a while.
Well, there's a difference between like crying because you have legit emotions surrounding something or crying over absolutely nothing.
They're a baby.
Emotions are emotions. No, you can't judge.
They're probably tired. I think you need a nap maybe.
Well, I'm talking like 7-8 year old.
All right. We're going to talk about the one thing that men are a lot more likely to cry about than women coming up in just a second. But first, what are people saying on our text line?
Yeah, this text says, I totally agree with Nikki. I love a man who can cry and show his emotions. This is interesting right here. They're also more understanding when a woman cries. I never thought of it that way, but that's mm-hmm. a good point. If a guy's in touch with his emotions, then when his girlfriend or his wife or his friends are being emotional, he can understand them better. That's a good point.
Right, yeah. I like this text also. I agree with Sam. Thank you, I agree with Sam. It's okay if the man cries exceptionally, but no more. It's not that attractive. I personally don't cry either, so it's awkward when I do.
Oh, if there's no... Yeah. Yeah, if you're not a crier.
Right. And then the first time you cry, yeah.
There's nothing worse than trying to force tears.
Well, you shouldn't try to force tears. That's not how it works. You're not supposed to do that.
Well, someone that wants to see you cry, sometimes you got to forge it.
Okay, Alyssa, do you like a man who cries and is in touch with his emotions like that?
I love it.
Yeah,
I
right?
love it.
But like, how much is too
yeah.
much?
Well, like, I don't need you crying every day.
No.
Oh, okay. So when it's convenient for you, then, right?
But it's when you actually feel those emotions, like,
right.
whenever they come
like,
up.
Yeah, like, if you're having a serious conversation and ends up both in tears, like, it just shows me that you love me just as much as I love you, and you're feeling what I'm feeling as well. It shows me you're comfortable with me and that you do love me.
And it shows that you're human.
Yeah, exactly. We shouldn't be associating crying with being feminine. It's something human. Everyone cries.
Is there a bear with you?
Your windshield wipers sound like they're about to break.
Sorry, I just turned them off.
Would you find it attractive if your man cried during a sports game or at the end of a sporting event?
I've never dated a guy that watched a lot of sports, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Well, what about, all right. Well, what about the end of a movie? Yeah, never mind.
All right, Alyssa, thank you so much for chatting with us.
No problem. Have a great day, guys.
I hope she turned her windshield wipers back on because the rain is bad today.
Yeah, I'd cry if she didn't.
All right, so Sam was saying that you thought that most women didn't want men who cried or showed emotion like that. You'd actually be wrong. The numbers are huge. 95% of women say they prefer a man who is open with his emotions, and 97% said that they find men crying is considered either strong, natural, or healthy. 97%.
That's a landslide. Okay, exactly. I did not expect it to be that staggering.
And get this, there is actually one topic I mentioned that men are more likely to cry over than women. What was your guess?
I would say, I cry over stupid commercials. That's, okay. You know, emotional Tim Hortons commercials at
Not
Christmas
it.
Time.
Something
the worst.
Deeper and more important than that.
Okay, well, there goes my guess of Bachelor in Paradise. Oh. I couldn't tell you.
It is love. It is heartbreak.
Oh, okay. Oh,
men,
really?
Yeah, during a breakup, men are actually a lot more likely to cry over love than women are.
When they get their heart broken, if they get dumped, that's when they cry the
yeah,
most.
Yeah, really? Maybe if they get dumped or even if they do the dumping, like if it's over, they're actually a lot more likely to shed tears there.
I've
maybe
had some good cries over breakups.
Maybe it's because of all the tears they've been suppressing along the way throughout the relationship.
So you don't know what you have until it's gone, right?
I don't know. Anyway, just like the rain today, I guess the moral of the story is it's okay to let it out once in a while, Sam.
Let the tears out. All right.
I haven't seen you cry yet.
I'm not going to force it.
Please don't.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So at one point, this was kind of viewed as a soft skill, you know, something that if you had it, sure, you could get ahead in some industries, but it wasn't necessary. But more and more, and I just saw an article yesterday on LinkedIn, they said that this skill is no longer a soft skill. It's actually become the key to your success in any field. We want to know if you agree with this morning. You can text us at 92925. So the skill that I'm talking about, Sam, what's the first thing that popped into mind for you? I'm scared to know.
I don't know. Let's say robotics.
No, it's not robotics.
Okay. Way for the future.
It's actually public speaking. So it's actually the opposite.
Come on.
They're saying that public speaking is now a necessity. It is the key to your success in any field. Ooh. And I actually think it has something to do with the robotics that you said. The fact is, public speaking is something that so far robots can't take over for us.
Right? That's true.
There are so many jobs that can be replaced with computers or with robots. This is one of them. Like, that real human touch and connection is not something that you can program a computer to do.
Pretty not sad yet. That you can, like, you know, put public speaking on a resume and have that be like an edge in the market because there's just so many robots taking
over now.
You
think it's sad?
Well, I mean, it's a sign of the times, right? That's where we are. The fact that you need to be able to communicate to be qualified for any job now.
Yeah, you don't necessarily, it's almost as important as knowing the material or knowing the job as you can also public speak. Oh, well, that person's going to be perfectly qualified then.
Yeah. Do you remember learning about public speaking back when you were in school, though? Is this a skill that you think we're being taught enough considering how important it is for all industries and fields?
Well, I mean, we all have to do presentations and we all are forced to do some sort of public speaking growing up and in elementary and high schools. I mean, whether or not we are guided and coached properly, no, I don't think we are. I think we can do a much better job because when you think about it, this is a skill that can do no harm. In a workplace, it builds confidence.
It is also terrifying. They say that 75% of people have a fear of public speaking.
It's the number one fear.
And even if it's not your number one fear, there's a good chance you're still fearful of it because they say 75% of people are scared of public speaking. So how terrifying is that?
I consider it an irrational fear because there's no real detriment. Like, there's no physical harm. I mean, you're not gonna leave a public
speech.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But I'm pretty sure like all fears are generally pretty irrational.
Not really. When you think of like a fear of heights, for instance, your brain is telling you if you fall, you're going to die.
Yeah, but prehistorically, we viewed eyes looking at us as a threat because of predators.
Right.
So it's actually like pretty deeply rooted, this fear of standing in front of a ton of people and looking into all of their eyes.
Right.
It's been around for a really long time.
I know that we're all, you know, on the radio, so it's probably not our number one fear, but have you guys ever had the...
Oh. I can so relate to being uncomfortable with a million eyes on me. Absolutely.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you want like a million followers on Instagram, right?
Well, we're not talking about social media. We're talking about
doing a presentation of some sort.
It's a completely different conversation that we're having.
No, you know what? It can be absolutely crippling. I have a friend actually who had to drop out of university because of her fear of public speaking. The fear that having to get up in front of a seminar, a class, and have to present something was so overwhelming that it was enough for her to dissuade her from pursuing post sage up education.
Yeah, it's normal because you start spiraling. Like, I've been there in different situations, especially early on in my career. I've been doing this for years and years now, but early on, I've had times where my brain just completely goes blank. I can focus on nothing except for the fact that hundreds of people are looking at me, and like I'm so self-conscious. Like, you can't even articulate.
Does the trick of picturing everybody naked, is that actually a trick that works?
No.
No, it doesn't work?
I don't think it works.
It does, and I'm doing it right now.
You're welcome.
Excuse me, put my clothes back on.
I'm getting over my fear the way I need to.
There's not a ton of research saying that tip works, but I do have another like quick little tip that you can use if you do have to stand up and do some public speaking. But some people are giving their tips on our text line as well, right? At 92925?
Yeah, someone says you spot someone in the crowd, you zoom in on them, and then just look above their head as if you're looking at them, but not really. And that way you're not really focusing on anyone in particular. Yeah.
Okay, my tip is a little different, and this has worked for me. And Sam, I actually gave you this advice last week when you went to go interview the chain smokers because you were really nervous about about going for your interview.
If only I can remember.
Do you remember
what
the tip was?
I was so nervous
because I found some research behind this, like actually working. Like I'm not the only one who believes this works.
Okay,
but it's remembering, changing your frame of mind, and remembering it's not about you. When you forget, you know, we're in that anxiety because we feel like all the attention is coming towards us. We have all of these eyes on us. What are they thinking? What if I mess up? What if I?
Mm-hmm.
But if you flip it to like, I'm actually here to help people, similar to how you may in a different industry, right?
To think that they may actually be interested to hear what you have to say.
Of course. And that is your job. Like, think about what the actual job is that you're doing there, which has, if you can forget the fact that it has to do with standing up in front of many people, you'll notice it'll switch and you won't have such anxiety around it because it just doesn't feel like so much pressure. You're not putting it all on yourself.
I like that.
Asking Sam to remember that it's not about him is a really difficult, that's a really difficult ask.
And when that feels, I just picture everyone naked. So there you go. It's a win-win.
I'm trying.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.